Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers Breaking Free podcast. This is something that has changed my life and I want to share it with you today. So this episode is super important. It was shocking for me to realize that despite having set a no contact boundary with my mother, the impact her behaviors have had on me and my life still held me back in every aspect of life and caused me a lot of pain. What do I mean by that? I mean that you can learn to set very effective boundaries. You can do years of therapy. You can change country, like I've done, and put as much space as possible between yourself and your narcissistic mother. You can go no contact with your entire family of origin if you need to, and never meet any of them again. There is still something that will follow you anywhere you go, still causing you pain and suffering. And that is your survival patterns, your coping patterns. You'll hear me referring to them with both ways. Survival or coping patterns is the same thing. And yes, those go with you everywhere, no matter how far your mother is. They actually stay with you long after your mother has passed away. My mother is still alive, but I have worked with women whose mother had passed away years and still those survival or coping patterns were there and having an impact on their lives. I have certainly experienced it with the no contact. It created a safety from her everyday abusive behaviors. That is very true, but it did nothing for the patterns that are still carried inside of me. And those patterns ruled my life. My relationship with my husband, my career, my health, and my parenting. They affected everything. So I want to share with you the four main coping patterns that we need to look out for as daughters of narcissistic mothers. But before that, I want to speak to five key characteristics that these coping patterns have, because it's going to help us understanding a little better why it's so important to be aware of this. So the first key characteristic is that these coping patterns run your life from the background, from our subconscious, from what we can call the shadow. There's so many ways to call that. From our body's implicit memory. There's different ways, but we say from the background, as in from a place that you're not fully aware of, because most of the time we're actually not fully aware of what coping pattern is our main one, or we might be to a degree, but it's a rational understanding. So we may try to do positive mindset shifting, reframing, and do all of that on a logical and rational level, but unless we do intentional work that is a specific kind of work that's aimed to resolve and repair, these patterns will still run your life from your subconscious. So that's why I'm saying you could have done 20 years of therapy and your coping patterns are still going to run your life. You may be able to write an essay on coping patterns like I was, and still they would be running your life, because they work in the background silently. Most of the times they're sneaky. And actually, the more work you've done on a rational level, and that I had to learn on my own skin, but I've also seen it with clients times and times again, because I get so many clients that have been in therapy for years before they come to me. And the more work you've done on a rational level, the more sneaky these coping patterns become, because your brain is sharp and you can do all this rationalizing and you can think it through and you can reframe it in your mind so much. But the subconscious is still on that pattern until we remap it through the nervous system with very specific work. That's still gonna play in your life. So that's the first thing that we need to remember about these coping patterns. They run your life from the background, no matter the degree of awareness that you have on a rational level. Number two, they do not heal by talking about them. And that kind of the two things go together. You may be aware of traits of your coping patterns and you may have talked about it in therapy for years. They still are running your life until you do this specific work that I'm talking about that goes in via the body, via the nervous system. There are tools and techniques and ways to work with this. And with that, we can really remap. That's what we're wanting to do. We can remap and repair these coping patterns. We're not trying to reframe them, shift them, get rid of them, and do any of that. We're just creating a new map. Number three, which was really an interesting one for me to discover, because it's an assumption, yeah? How many times have you been told, oh, time heals every wound? It doesn't. These coping patterns do not go away with time. They don't. Time does not heal the trauma you carry, which dictated coping patterns that you develop to survive. I have worked with clients that were in their 80s. And they were still, because they had never done this kind of work, they were still battling coping patterns from early childhood trauma. Because unless you do this intentional work, time does not heal those wounds. Yeah, well, actually, I was about to say maybe it makes them less intense. It doesn't. What it does, you can reframe logically and rationally to a point that you can tell yourself you're not actually feeling that pain anymore. But what has happened is actually that pain has been buried and suppressed to a degree, but it's still active in your body. And it's actually going to make you sick, either going to make you sick or it's still anyways going to dictate your life and give you a lot of pain. And like they don't, number four, like don't heal with time, they also don't heal with distance. So as mentioned, distance such as boundaries or no contact or living far away, although those are great ways to bring a degree of safety in your system that is essential for your healing if there is a lot of toxicity and abuse that is still going on with your mother to this day. These ways are not enough to fully heal those patterns. So we can't just say, oh, I'm going to go away, I'm going to go no contact, and all will be good. There's going to be a degree of relief, perhaps. I've met people that felt no relief, actually. Yes, the toxicity was gone, but the patterns of guilt, the patterns of anxiety, the patterns of depressions were so strongly there that it actually made very little difference to them until they did this work. But in general, it can bring a degree of relief, but it's never going to bring the full healing. And again, I definitely speak from experience. I've lived in a different country from my mother for, at this point, 15 years, and I have been no contact for over 4 years. But until I did this work, things didn't really change. And number five, this, I'm going to say it again and again and again, and you've heard me probably saying it before, but your coping pattern is not your fault. It's not a fault you have. So that's something really important. When we go and look at these coping patterns, I mean, they're not pleasant to look at, especially when we look back in life and go, because of this survival pattern, I've done all these things that, I could have spared myself a ton of pain if I had known this before. But you didn't. You didn't know this before. And so you did your best with what you knew at any given point, at any given moment. And your coping patterns developed as a survival mechanism in your childhood. So we need to remember that. It was a survival mechanism. They're developed at a time when you had no choice. Because you were experiencing a lack of safety of some kind that as a child you couldn't explain with rational mind because you were a child and you couldn't escape because your survival was attached to your mother. So it's really important to be very kind with yourself. None of this is your fault. Okay? So to recap, five key characteristics of the coping patterns. They run your life from the background. They do not heal. Talking about them with time or with distance, and none of it is your fault. So I want you to have that in mind as we go through the four coping patterns in order to fully get the importance of becoming aware of these. And also because the awareness is only the first step, as I said, awareness alone, otherwise we could talk about them for years, or actually we wouldn't need to talk about them for years, we would only talk about them for 5 minutes, because once we become aware, that's it. Haha, done. I mean, I'm aware of my coping patterns, I'm now healed. That's not how it works. We need to move into step two of what is the Reclaiming Your Fullness method, and is the method that I apply with clients and that I've worked with for years, and is attunement. So first we become aware, and then we need to attune. And in this word, attunement, we could talk about it forever, there's all the work that happens through your body, through your nervous system. Yes, there's sharing, but mostly there's actually literally journeying with your nervous system and doing that remapping and that repairing. So that is important to understand. Let's go into talking about these four coping patterns that are important to know. And again, I can't stress enough the point that none of this is your fault. Okay, it's really, really important. They are survival mechanisms that you developed. Did it serve you then, whichever survival mechanism is your main one? Yes, it did serve you, because it brought you to here. So we bow in honor to that. Does it still serve you now? Very much no. Very much no. The survival mechanisms and patterns do not serve us on the long run. They actually hold us back in life. They really, really cause a lot of pain and have a big impact in your life as an adult. So let's have a look at the four main coping patterns daughters of narcissistic mothers need to be aware of in order to not only recover from the abuse, but to completely break free and reclaim their life. So, one, the overachiever. Two, the peacekeeper. Three, the rescuer. And four, the invisible one. So, these are the four main ones. Let's have a quick look at them. I'm not going to go crazy deep into them now, because I've created a quick assessment for you so you can gain more clarity as to which one of these is actually your main coping patterns, because sometimes it can surprise you. What we may think it is not actually. And I'm going to put the link in the description. It's a free assessment. It takes less than 3 minutes for you to do it. I really invite you to go and do that at the end of the episode. But in the meantime, I'm just going to give you a quick overview of each one of them. So first, the overachiever. I'm very familiar with that one. So this is when you have learned to cope by overworking, keeping busy at all times, being the perfectionist that has to have the best results in everything at the cost of your own health and everything else in your life. And this pattern can be sneaky, because you may think, actually, I self-sabotage all the time and I'm actually an awful procrastinator. That's okay. I was right there with you. That is still run by the overachiever, because that perfectionism can backfire and actually hold you back in life. So just a little, that's how they can be sneaky. Yeah, we can think it's so easy to understand this, but they have ways of operating that are not necessarily that obvious. So if you're the overachiever, and your results are not the best, you feel it personally, like it means you're not good enough. And the thing of the overachiever is that you are never good enough in your own eyes. You never feel good enough in your own eyes. And so you keep pushing and pushing and pushing, whichever, in all of your life or in some aspects of your life. The peacekeeper, number two. I'm very familiar with this one too. This is when you've learned to survive by keeping the peace around you at any cost. If you were the child that kept balance and harmony in your own family, like the one, for example, that everyone could talk to, like I was in my own family, this could be you. The pain of this pattern is that your needs don't matter and are never met. leading to resentment and frustration with a lot of guilt also, because you have the resentment and the frustration towards others because you are trying to constantly keep the peace for as they're messing around, but also you feel guilty when you try and express your own needs or a boundary because you don't think you deserve those. Then the rescuer, number three. So this is when you've learned to cope by trying to fix and save others. And I am also very familiar with this one. I was given a little bit of all just so that I could explain them really well to you and support you. That's just the way I can see it. But I definitely have a main one. We all have. So it's not black and white. You might actually recognize yourself in some of the traits of all the four or of more than one of them. And that's okay. But there is a main one actually that drives all others as well. So as we were saying, the rescuer, this is when you've learned to cope by trying to fix and save others. The wounded healer or the chronic caregiver are aspects of this coping pattern. The pain is exhausting yourself for others and never take a moment for yourself because you don't feel you deserve unless you've done enough for everyone else. And then lastly, the invisible one. Maybe you were the invisible child, the middle child, or not. But in any case, you've learned that by making yourself small, you were left alone in the madness that was going on around you. So the pain of this coping pattern is that your voice is not heard. You don't believe it deserves to be heard. And even when you think you've spoken up for yourself, others still don't listen. And that is something really, really interesting that I found in my own life experience at times for sure, but also with many clients that have this pattern quite strong, is that they think they've spoken up for themselves. They would come to the session with me and tell me, but I've said this to this person. I told them and they still didn't listen. And then we go deeper into it. And actually by the end of it, it's like, ooh, I didn't really tell them, did I? And it's like, no, you didn't. You thought you told them. But the way you expressed your body language, your entire energy, everything was screaming at this person. My voice doesn't matter. Please don't listen to me. And that's how these patterns work. And that's why rationalizing it's not enough. It helps. The awareness, of course, helps. And that's why I made the assessment for you, because becoming aware is the first step. It is important, but it's not enough because they work in sneaky ways from the background and you think you're speaking out loud. You think you're making yourself clear, but your body transmits a message. Your nervous system transmits a message. What you say before and after makes a difference. There's a whole heap of things that are happening that are actually continuing the pattern and continuing the impact that it has on your life even after you rationalized it. So after this brief description, maybe you already recognize yourself in one or more of these. These are not necessarily separate and black and white, as I said. I feel resonance with actually all four of them. And yet I do have a dominant one for sure. The overachiever would have been like my dominant one. So we have a dominant one that affects our life the most. So even if intuitively you feel called to one or more than one, I still invite you to take the assessment below because it's free. It takes less than 3 minutes. And at the end, not only you will get a personalized answer to your result, but you also will get an actionable next step you can start implementing right away, because that's the thing. As I said, your coping pattern doesn't heal with time, distance, or talking about it, but you can repair and remap by intentionally taking steps at work. And so in the assessment at the end, for each result, I share with you, and you receive it in the results, an actionable next step that you can take that is easy to implement, because we start with something that's easy to implement. We don't need to go crazy from the beginning, 0 to 100. But that actionable step, although it may seem like really simple, it's super powerful. and I've experimented with them all. I've tried them all. I've used them and used them time again with clients, and these steps work. So take the assessment, the link in the description, take it now, and I'm looking forward to support you with this. Okay, with that, I'm going to send you much, much love, and bye for now.